Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on the volunteer state with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, very cool, very special guest, Cash Daniels. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcast and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making a positive impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with the Conservation Kid. Cash Daniels, the Conservation Kid, is all of 12 years old. He's had a passion of fish and wildlife since he was three. His awesome Tennessee parents have always allowed him to follow his interests and study what he loves. He spent most of his childhood fishing along the riverways in Chattanooga with his dad, falling in love with marine life and water. But when he discovered that 80% of all trash from land or rivers ends up in the ocean, it inspired him to start his water-saving efforts at home and hosted a cleanup along local waterways and the Tennessee River. After learning of plastics in our rivers and oceans, he decided to make a change. He wanted to educate others and save the water we need to live. He started doing river cleanups at the age of seven and also started his own business, teaching kids and adults too. Kids can make a huge difference in the world, and they are the ones who will inherit the planet, he says. He decided to write a children's book. It was officially released in May 2019. He wants to inspire kids to take on the challenge of changing and saving the planet, no matter how small. Every change to save the planet is worth it. Together, we can make the world a better place. Well, that's awesome. Kids may be a small percentage of the population, but we're 100% of the future, he says. Hello, young sportsman. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Are you in Chattanooga right now?
Yes, I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Is it still cold over there?
I mean, it's gotten warmer, but last couple of days have been cold.
All right. Well, let's help you sell some books today, Cash. One Small Piece by Cash Daniels. Where can people pick up a copy? And you drew the pictures and wrote it, didn't you?
Yes, I wrote and illustrated the book, and you can get the book on Amazon.
All right. I hope everyone does. Who helped you more to write it, your mom, Erin, or your dad?
Well, I wrote and illustrated it, but I was nine, so just a little bit. My mom helped me with, like, proper, like, spelling and all of the things to do with writing, like just telling me how to do it correctly.
That's great. That's so nice that she did that for you. So do you have a best friend?
Yes. So my best friend is actually in Canada, and she is also a big conservationist.
What's her name?
So her name is Ella.
Ella Galaski-Rosen. Is that how you say it? From Toronto?
Galaski-Rosen, yes.
Okay. And she helps you on these dirty jobs that you go cleaning the rivers?
Yes, so we actually founded an organization called the Cleanup Kids Together to help inspire kids all around the world to start being a conservationist and just to pick up trash. And yeah, we've done cleanups together, but it's usually hard for us to meet up because she's in Canada right now and she's been in Florida for the last little bit.
Doing this kind of work, helping things out. I know she's making a documentary and a TV show about the sea and scuba. She scuba dives with you, though, doesn't she?
Yes, we are both certified scuba divers.
That's amazing. And she won the 2021 Earth's Own Planet Project. What was that?
So that was a project for me and her have done so many awards. It's going to maybe... I forget what it was, like, really about.
Sounds like something's because she does so much work cleaning the earth that she got an award for it. I have a lot of questions about your awards, too, so we'll get into more specifics on that. But you're both certified open water scuba divers. How many Yes. oceans have you been in?
So I swam in the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Amazing, amazing. She has Ella Saves the Oceans, and You Are the Conservation Kid. Sounds like a movie in the making. And together you encourage kids to pick up 1 million pounds of trash across the globe. How's that effort going?
So that was our main project for last year, to like reach out to kids all around the world to pick up 1 million pieces of trash by the end of 2022. And last year we did make that goal.
Wow, that's amazing. And do you have a goal to double that this year, or what's going on?
So we're doing projects like on not just plastic, but sharks, all kinds of animals, plants. But I don't know what our main big project is this year.
All right, it's early yet. You have a brother. Does he get up early and go out with you in the river trips?
Yes, I have a 10-year-old brother, and he, when we do cleanups, he comes. He, when he does get out there, he likes picking up trash, and he actually has his own sort of thing he does. It's called Cult Critters. He does like cats and dogs, and sells dog toys.
Oh, that's great. You guys are very conscientious. What's his name?
His name is Colt.
Colt. All right. Colt and Cash. Cash was selected as one of America's top 10 youth volunteers of 2021 by the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards. He also earned the title of National Honoree, where he received a $5,000 grant to go to a nonprofit of his choice, and he became the first person to win the Youth Conservationist Award 2 years in a row from the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. Which nonprofit did you choose to give that to?
So, I chose to give the money to Wildlife Voice. He is, or it is run by my friend Jim Abernathy, and he does a lot of good work for sharks and just telling people about sharks and why they're important and not how they're portrayed in movies and media today.
Is he in Florida or somewhere on the Atlantic coast?
Yes, he lives in Florida, but he's mostly out of country, talking or taking people out on shark dives in the Bahamas, Mexico, all around the world.
That's amazing. Have you swam with the sharks?
Yes, he took me out on a shark dive a couple years ago with about 30 lemon sharks and three bull sharks, and it was just really fun to swim with sharks.
That's amazing. What grade are you in, buddy?
So I'm in 7th grade.
7th grade. Do your classmates and their parents get as interested in cleaning rivers with you as you do?
Well, I am homeschooled, so I mean, people that I do find, like kids and people that I see out. When we go places that I do end up talking to, I tell them about why it's important to clean up trash and the environment.
So, do you have a pretty good crew that goes with you every time, or are you always getting new volunteers to come out? How do you do that? How does that look when you do it?
Well, when we do cleanups, we post it on social media for new people to come, and I invite my friends, family. I do invite my youth group to do it a lot. I have a lot of friends there. They come out usually.
Great. So you get like 20, 50 people at a time. How does it look when you're doing it?
So when we do them, like with just posting them on social media, we might get 10 people, but when we organize them with certain people, then we may get 20 to 30, maybe.
Nice. Okay. Last month you hosted a cleanup for the new year. You removed a little over 550 pounds. Thank you. How do you know how many pounds it was and how many people were there for that cleanup?
So when we weigh the trash, we just usually, it's mostly estimation, but when we do weigh it, it's mostly not that much off of what we estimated. And the New Year cleanup, it was there was I would say maybe 15 people there.
Nice. Okay. What's the craziest thing you've ever found out there cleaning up?
So, craziest thing I found on the river is a creepy doll head that I found while on a cleanup with Keep Tennessee River Beautiful.
Who are they?
So, Keep Tennessee River Beautiful is a organization that cleans up the rivers and is just a really good organization for rivers, and they are actually a government. No, but Keep Tennessee River, they're not government, but Keep Tennessee River Beautiful is actually the first Keep America Beautiful organization to focus on a river.
And this is the Tennessee River that they chose?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. You were in Costa Rica around Christmas time, is that right? How'd you like that experience?
Yes, so we went to Costa Rica for our big trip of that year, and it was just really fun. There's a bunch of nature there, and nature is one of the reasons we went, and the scenery, and it was just a really fun trip.
You like to travel.
Yes, I love to travel. I love to travel to all different states. Out west is mostly my favorite. South Dakota, Yellowstone, all those states out there. I've been to four different countries. Travel is just one of my favorite things to do.
That's awesome. I swam with the sharks off of Maui a few years ago. You were there when the Costa Rican government voted against preserving sharks, right? You wrote about not being happy about shark protection on your blog. How do you feel about sharks in general?
Well, sharks in general are my favorite animals, and they don't deserve the reputation they're given. Like, I like Jaws and I like shark movies, but the way they are portrayed in those movies are not accurate to the way they act in nature.
That they're not as man eaters or as vicious as we think they are. Is that what you're saying? They have a purpose out there. They're more gentle.
Yes, they are not the man-eating monsters or the things we portray them to be in media today. They're actually really nice creatures that are just trying to make a living, trying to survive in the ocean.
Just doing what sharks do. You also notice that they care a lot more about preserving the land down there, but not much about the ocean, even though they're almost surrounded by on two sides. Why do you think they don't care as much about the ocean?
Well, that's complicated. That's a good question. I would think maybe because I really don't know. That's a really good question.
Okay. Well, there was a trophy tournament in Jupiter, Florida for sharks. Over 250 species of sharks are labeled as endangered, critically endangered, vulnerable, or data deficient, meaning we don't know enough about them to say whether or not they are at risk of extinction yet. Someone sponsored kids and offered a cash prize for children. You didn't like that, did you?
No, shark tournaments are some of the worst things ever. Like, and I think it was the Tennessee or the Florida wildlife, like their wildlife government thing down there. They knew it was happening and didn't do anything about it. And we went to Me and Ella went to Shark Con, and we put up signs about it, and we were asked to take them down or leave. So, and just shark tournaments in general are some of the worst things I could imagine just taking a shark out of its environment and killing it just because you can is just horrific.
Not very sporty. I read in your intro that you got this river clean, got into this river cleanup stuff at age 3. That's pretty young to be worried about pollution, I think. What got you interested in it in the first place?
Well, I got interested in pollution when I was like 7, when I found a plastic straw on the beach. But I would say I've loved animals ever since I could remember, because animals in general are just my favorite things. And just to see those that plastic killing them and endangering them, I didn't like. And I actually found a plastic straw on the beach, and that's how I got started, because I made the connection that that straw might harm the animals that I loved.
Pretty smart. Not many 3-year-olds would do that. Do you have a lot of kids younger than you out there on the weekends?
Well, I would say sometimes, yeah, I do have kids a lot younger than me. I go speak to school groups, like the fourth graders, kindergarten, and they seem really interested in conservation. And I really like going to talk to schools and just telling kids about why conservation is important and why they should care about the environment.
Nice. And you wrote that COVID mask waste has increased an estimated 9,000% since the pandemic began, and improperly disposed of masks bother you, huh?
Yes, masks ever since the COVID started, it has been a really big problem. Masks are, I find masks everywhere. I hardly found any before the COVID started, but now, since it's gotten a whole lot bigger, or now it's died down and people aren't using those masks anymore, they're just throwing them out. And I find a whole lot more of them.
Wow. And 80% of the ocean's trash comes from the rivers.
Yes, an estimated 70 to 80% of all ocean trash comes from rivers, because all rivers lead to the ocean. All creeks all lead to the ocean, and that land plastic is going to make its way into the sewers, which drain into the rivers, which then makes its way to the ocean.
That's where the animals get them. Last year, you spoke with Ashley Ruiz, right? The chief meteorologist in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, about climate change. I'm interviewing Joe Bastardi at weatherbell.com this coming Thursday. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's also a meteorologist. What did Ashley teach you, and what would you ask Joe if you had a chance to interview him or any meteorologist?
Well, what she taught me is why climate change is affecting the environment. Like, there's more tornadoes. I have experienced that. The weather's a lot worse. That more hurricanes, and just climate change is really a horrible thing. And what I might ask a meteorologist is just, how do you know, other than like just seeing it, how do you know like climate change is, how that happens?
How it happens when you just observe it with your eyes, you mean? Like, how did it happen? Or do you mean, how does it get worse over time?
Yeah, just like how climate change happens. Like, I think I know it has something to do with the sun's rays getting stuck inside the atmosphere. So,
And you've gotten to speak to over 5,000 kids at the Pathfinders Southern Camp. You were scared to talk to that many people, but what did you tell them? or were you scared? I don't know if you were scared. So, were you scared to talk to that many people, and what did you tell them?
Well, I was, that's probably the biggest crowd I've ever spoke to. And it was, I mean, I wasn't scared per se, but I was a little nervous because that's like the biggest group of people I've ever talked to. And the person I was supposed to speak with didn't show up until like a minute before, so that didn't help.
What is Pathfinder's camp?
Well, Pathfinders is a Seventh-day Adventist, sort of like Boy Scouts for kids. And they have like an annual, I think it's annual meeting every year for like, just so they can get out in nature, learn about nature, and just be out there.
Oh, very nice. You did a cleanup with Commissioner Salyers from TDEC, the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, and Mike Robertson, Director of States Parks. You love our public land, state and national parks, so that must have been exciting, right?
Yes, so I did a cleanup with TDEC and the commissioner. I'm actually a pretty good friend of the commissioners and everybody at TDEC. There was a ton of people show up to that cleanup, and that was just one of the best cleanups I've done.
Wow. Did they do a pickup of trash too, or just take pictures with you?
Oh no, they got out there, picked up trash, everything. All the government officials that came that day, they got dirty and like
Nice.
out there and just instead of an office.
Good. And I like that. Commissioner Salyers invited you to speak about recycling and NGOs and how everyone can make a difference to the Tennessee Environmental Network show of the South. That's cool. How did that go?
So that went really well. When the commissioner was called up to speak, he called me up and talked about me, and that was just a really fun time at that convention.
Yeah. And people with the EPA know your name and your story, right?
Yeah, so I went there to talk to them about why conservation is important when I went to Nashville, and they just really liked my message and said we should do cleanups one day, and they invited me to that show the South thing.
State Representative Greg Vitale of District 29, that's your district, showed you around the Capitol and you got to meet Speaker Sexton. How fun was that day? Do you like Nashville?
Yes, Nashville was really fun. Greg was is one of my all-time best friends. He takes me everywhere. He's really nice. He took me up to Nashville and we walked there for like all day, walked all around the Capitol, met a ton of people.
Nice. And including the speaker, Sexton, who maybe will be governor one day. In Tennessee, we do a lot of fishing, don't we? And that means a lot of fishing lines get left in the water. You have a monofilament recycling project and won a $500 grant from Tennessee American Water. Congratulations. What are you doing with that prize money?
Yes, fishing line is a huge problem here, and so I do make monofilament bends and to do fishing line. I have 44 of those out now and in 7 state parks.
Tell us a little bit about that. How does that work?
So this works by, so it's a big tube of PVC with a elbow piece at the top, and fishermen could just put their line down there, and there's a little screw at the bottom that you just screw on there, and it goes down there, and I come around and pick up the fishing line, and we get a bunch from most all the places we go to.
Wow. So, and you partnered with Tennessee State Parks and you went out to Tim Ford's, Edgar Evans, and Rock Island State Parks. And now, officially, you have, you said I had you down as 40 monofilament receptacles out there, but it's even more than that.
Yes, 44.
Oh, 44. So that's taken off. Good job. And that keeps the fishing lines out of the rivers. So that's that much less garbage and microplastics out there. June 8th is World Ocean Day. Oceans provide about 70% of our oxygen. Do you do anything special on June 8th each year?
I'm pretty sure that is when we are going to Tiger Beach with my friend Jim to go dive with tiger sharks, and I'm pretty sure that's when we'll be going. Yeah, it is.
Wow. All right. That's a great way to spend it. Now, Time Magazine and Nickelodeon made you top five kid of the year last year. Did your friends see that and think they better step up their game with you around? Five out of a thousands. Congratulations. That's impressive.
So I was called by Time Magazine and Nickelodeon one day and told I was in, or we don't really know who signed me up to it, but then they told us we were in it and that I had got, I don't know, but in top something, and then one day top 10, and then they called to talk to us about coming down to film for the top five thing, and I got to meet Rob Gronkowski. I got a message
Oh.
from Bindi Irwin, and
That's Steve Irwin's daughter from Australia. Yeah,
yes,
that's a thrill.
and it's crazy. It takes 2 days to film a 5-minute video.
That's true. You also have written about aluminum cans and how they can be used over and over again, but plastic only has a few recycling options, right? We should be recycling aluminum more, shouldn't we?
Yes, aluminum is infinitely recyclable, and I take advantage of that. And I actually use that aluminum from a. I partnered with a dog park and a nursing home to take off all of their aluminum cans and recycle them, and I get paid for them, and that's how I pay for my monofilament bins.
Ah, very smart. So that's Play Wash Pint, your local dog play park where people meet,
Yes.
gather, hang out, and their dogs can play in a safe space. You partnered with them. Very nice. It took 10 months and you hit the 1 ton mark in aluminum recycling and met Sylvia Earle. For those that don't know, she's an American marine biologist, oceanographer, explorer, author, and lecturer. She's been a National Geographic explorer in residence since 1998. Earle was the first female chief scientist of the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I think that's NOAA, right? And was named by Time Magazine as its first hero of the planet in 1998. That must have been an exciting person for you to meet.
Yes, Sylvia Earle is one of my all-time favorite conservationists, and if I was going to pick one conservationist I was going to meet before I met her, it was probably going to be her. She was just awesome, and it was just amazing to be in her presence.
You certainly have a lot in common. So back to your friend in Toronto, Ella. Ella and you, the cleanup kids, were finalists for the Go Blue Award with Loggerhead Marine Life Center. Did you guys win that? How did that turn out?
Yep, so we got invited down to Florida at the Loggerhead Marine Sanctuary, and that is actually where we met Sylvia Earle. There, she was their speaker for that year. We were there were three kids us went and two others. We didn't win, but we just had a good time there.
Awesome. So the 625-mile stretch of Tennessee River and its tributaries supply drinking water to about 5.1 million people, more than 300 species of fish, 125 species of freshwater mussels. It's also the nation's fifth largest river system and one of the most biodiverse rivers in North America. It's also tested higher for microplastics than any other river in the world from landfill waste. How do you feel about landfills?
So landfills are problems because that trash gets buried and gets broken down into microplastics quicker and then gets washed into the river, and there's just so much trash there. It takes up so much land that we could be using for animals, and it's just when we could be recycling all that stuff, it's not good.
Yeah. And it's obviously contaminated the Tennessee River. President Joe Biden gave you the President's Volunteer Service Award. That must have been a surprise.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, and it was a surprise. I did not know I was getting it.
That's awesome. You just phone call you or mail it to you or have you come to receive it? How'd
It was
that?
mailed.
It was mailed to you. Okay. Well, naturally, after all we've talked about, your favorite superhero is Aquaman. And you got to meet Jason Momoa, who played Aquaman in the movies when you were on the Kelly Clarkson show. He wrote an article about you on his website. That must have been a super thrill.
Yes, when I met him, I was just, it was awesome, and that's one of my favorite movies all time. The only superhero movie I will watch from DC. And it's just amazing to be able to meet one of my favorite superheroes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Cash, you are a real life superhero saving the world and our rivers. I'm very proud to have gotten to know you today. Every month, you try to organize a river cleanup at different areas of the Tennessee River. The Tennessee River is one of the most polluted in the world with microplastics from water bottles and cigarette butts made from plastic fibers. Tell my listeners where they can find out on Instagram and anywhere else they can follow you and get off the couch and help you clean up Tennessee.
So you can find me at the Conservation Kid on Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent. And do you have anything coming up soon?
So soon I'm going to the, what's it called? Kids' Choice Awards for Time Magazine. All the top five from last year are going to go meet the top five, the winner from this year. And I'm going to meet Forrest Galante at the Southeastern Wildlife Conference,
Okay.
and he's one of the he's the leading extinct wildlife expert. He's actually found several animals that have thought to be extinct. And he's just one of my favorite people, and I'm gonna go meet him in person.
That's so great. You get to meet all these people in person all the time. Well, I want to thank you for coming on with us today. And thank your parents for allowing you to come on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up the good work.
I will.
I don't understand how you ever did without me. I don't understand how I bring you down to your knees.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Who is that?
That was Robin Bowles of Seattle, Washington, doing his best Carl Spackler or Bill Murray from Caddyshack for my birthday. My mother died in 2013. She did that for me every year for all those many years. And when she passed, he took over. And that was his 10th rendition of Happy Birthday to me. And I promised a shout out. There you go, buddy. Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what did you think of our guest, Cash Daniels?
Well, he's quite the dynamo. I mean, the kid's been doing some wonderful things, and he's been noted for that. And, you know, it's neat that a child at a young age picks up a passion and runs with it. And when I was in fifth grade, I was all over the environment, and we were picking up trash, and we did all sorts of posters at the school, and got really involved with it. And the 70s was really kind of the whole environmental movement took root. And then my kids, when we go to the national parks when they were little, they did the junior ranger thing. And part of that was always picking up trash. And so my boys, along with my wife and I, have always learned to be responsible with our trash. And so I think the message that I get from him is, let's be responsible. Let's pick up after ourselves. Let's not throw things away, drop things, and there's a lot that we can do. And so an inspiring young man to inspire a lot of people to just be good stewards of the creation that God gave us to manage.
Yeah, and Tennessee is a land of many, many beautiful rivers, and they are very dirty and polluted. And to have a boy like that out there making a difference compared to, say, a Greta Thunberg who's staging protests and arrests at coal mines, doing absolutely nothing except probably raising funds for herself. He's actually out there getting dirty, cleaning it up once a month. Thank you, Cash. You're doing a great job. All right, let's go to the next section here. Let's frame this with a little conversation between two congresspeople back in session.
Now, we can go around and around in circles about trying to talk about and defining socialism, but at its core, I was intrigued by an op-ed that I saw not too long ago by a Democrat from Cuba commenting on one of our colleagues, an avowed socialist, and essentially pointing out the extent to which democratic socialism is a lot like the system my family fled, except its proponents promised to be nicer when seizing your business. And that's the truth. That's the truth here. And so we can talk about these terms as if they don't matter, but they do. They do matter. They're actually at the core of who we are. I've got one question for the ranking member. Ranking Member Waters, in a 2008 hearing, you said, quote, "And guess what this liberal will be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing, would be about basically taking over the government and the government running all of your companies," end quote. Simple question, do you stand by that statement?
Simple answer. I am here today in this Rules Committee because we're taking up time with basically a non-issue. First of all, you claim that socialism has engulfed this country, that it keeps creeping, it's going to take over private businesses, et cetera, et cetera. That is not happening. We're in a democracy that we're trying very much to save and to not have disrupted, undermined in the way that...
So then reclaiming my time, the gentlelady denounces your previous statement then and do not accept that previous statement that you think you would take over these private
businesses? I'm not a socialist. I'm a capitalist. And I commit to you that I am here to save Social Security, to save Medicare, to save seniors and veterans. And for some of you who have adopted certain kind of ways that you support what you now claim is socialism, I'm here to say to you, come on.
So this liberal will be all about socializing, will be all about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies. You disagree with that? You now denounce that statement?
I am not a socialist.
Okay.
All right.
So I appreciate the response. I think that to the extent that one has a concern as a member of this body or as an American watching this, one has concerns when we hear statements like this, and that's not the only one.
Chip Roy from Texas is right. We Americans are very concerned with Maxine Waters and her comrades and big government taking over our businesses, lives, democracy, especially when they're out there telling us they're going to do it. She is a capitalist. She's been capitalizing on her power and influence for decades. Capital for her, socialism for you people. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. In honor of the State of the Union address tonight, let's hear from our commander-in-chief. This is a quick one.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
Did you catch that? Do we need to play it again? More than half the women in his administration are women. Well, that's kind of true when you consider the other half are men. Let that sink in for a moment. One of the men I think is leaving, Ron Klain. One of the other men, I think he's a man, Ron Klain, is no longer chief of staff, probably become a frequent guest on MSNBC and CNN. Speaking of CNN, did you see they aren't getting much over 400,000 viewers a day?
Oh my gosh, and yet they got billions of dollars worth of drug ads.
But how have they fallen? Truth sells, doesn't it? Okay, let's hear the dearly departed Ron Klain's farewell speech.
Often asked, what is the best souvenir I got in 2 years as White House Chief of Staff? And my answer is very simple. It's this rock, this plated civil rock. It was given to me a year ago on one of our darker days by Louisa Terrell. And it's always symbolized to me the fact that this team has been rock solid in their support of our agenda. And the president, we've never wavered. We've been as solid as a rock.
Oh, yeah, they have.
That rock. Keep it together, man. It's just a rock. And Biden can't have been that great of a boss if he can't count men from women. Ron Klain breaks down sobbing as he recalls being given a rock for a White House staffer. It's always symbolized to me that this team has been solid. Very clever. Steve, did you know Congress is in session?
No, I am not paying any attention, to be honest, Steve. But
well, they are, and that means our wallets aren't safe
no.
as they do their thing up there, or over there in your case, far to the east of you. But they have some house cleaning to do. There is this congressperson from Minnesota. We've been talking about how far they've fallen as a state, by way of Somalia, that the new speaker that took over for Nancy Pelosi, who put Ilhan Omar on the Foreign Relations Committee, he kicked her off, and the House voted to approve her removal. She was part of the squad of young radical victim Dems. Let's hear how they took the news. Let's play clip five.
Senator Bush.
The gentlewoman is recognized for 1 minute.
St. Louis and I rise in support of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I've been to her district. I've spoken with her constituents. We visited marginalized communities globally together. This institution is better because of her leadership, and the Foreign Affairs Committee benefits from her perspective. So let's talk about what's really happening. Republicans are waging a blatantly Islamophobic and racist attack on Congresswoman Omar. And I've said it before, I will say it again. The white supremacy happening is unbelievable. This is despicable. It is Congresswoman Omar who has been harassed at her job for simply existing as a Muslim woman in Congress. It is she who has been attacked by a member of this body, ridiculing her as a potential terrorist for simply existing as a Muslim woman in this Congress. So rather than bring an actual accountability, any accountability to Congress, they bring this offensive resolution to the floor. This is just a bunch of racist gaslighting. We all know it. Vote no.
She, I think, got raised in a household of preachers. What do you think?
Or at least watched them on
TV.
She's
got that style down.
So she's conflating Jews with white supremacy because the people upset at Ilhan Omar are Jews standing up against her anti-Semitism. Conflating Jewish with white supremacy is anti-Semitism, by the way. Let's hear clip number five, another squad member.
Censor Congresswoman Omar in the same week they introduced a bill to ban federal employees.
employees from engaging in censorship? Where are the free speech warriors today? The hypocrisy is obvious to the American people. You are showing who you all are, really.
The gentlewoman's time has expired.
I will not be silenced.
The gentlewoman's time has expired.
To Congressman Omar, I am so sorry, sis, that our country is failing you today through this chamber. You belong to that committee.
The gentlewoman is no longer recognized, and the gentleman from Mississippi is recognized.
I think she said the gentleman is no longer recognized, and it was a woman.
That's Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from the Palestinian Liberation Authority. Is this a member of Congress or a child throwing a temper tantrum? Omar has been living in the United States since her early teens. She graduated from high school in a major American city. She earned a BA from North Dakota State University in political science and international studies. One assumes she's consumed plenty of American culture over the years. They're telling us that this all the time and all her many interactions, an academic fellow and a government employee, she never once heard a stereotype about Jews hypnotizing nations or being motivated by money. That is quite an accomplishment. All right, last but not least, from the squad princess, the cream always rises to the top, the one, the only Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, aka Sandy Cortez from Queens. Hit it, Reverend.
Don't tell me that this is about a condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks when you have a member of the Republican caucus who has talked about Jewish space lasers and an entire amount of tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology when my life was threatened. Thank you.
I think there's a theme going here, Steve. What is this theme?
The best of the best of the Democratic House. David Harsanyi at Epoch Times said it best, and I scoured the internet to find it. Omar's rhetoric is already the norm in academic and activist leftist circles, so it's unsurprising. She could read the Hamas charter into the congressional record, and her defenders would claim she was merely being critical of Israel. No matter what she says, no matter how often she lies, the partisans at the Washington Post will contend criticism of her is inextricable from her religion. The bigot is actually the victim. Of course, Omar has the right to believe anything she likes, and the House majority has the right to refuse her seats on committees. McCarthy can unilaterally deny Adam Schiff, perhaps the most corrupt person in Congress, and Eric Swalwell, a man duped by a Chi-Com honeypot, from serving on the Intelligence Committee. But a full House vote was needed to deny Omar a seat. Maybe it's a bad idea to make a habit of blocking partisan committee appointments, but so is unilateral disarmament. To be fair and balanced, let's end with Republican Congresswoman from Colorado, Lauren Pistol Packin Boebert.
When we can. I don't believe that the security of any member here is compromised by having another member of Congress, a highly vetted individual, be able to carry a firearm according to their Second Amendment rights or constitutional rights and defend themselves. But I do want to once again just extend my heartfelt offer to all of you to come and attend a class with me. I host these often so members can obtain their concealed carry weapons permits here in Washington, D.C. Just come and learn on the subject. Hear what our laws are, hear the process of it, and how reasonable it actually is. It's not this big, scary object that's just going to fire on its own. There are safety measures imposed on every firearm, whether there's a safety or not. There are still ways to carry firearms that they're not going to discharge. That's just not something they do. It's an inanimate object.
They both worked at bars. Her and AOC. One owned it and understands how to run a small business, and one I like better when she doesn't talk a lot. Guess which is which. One more. The new member from Florida that isn't invited to join the squad or the Hispanic caucus because she's a Republican, even though Hispanic, kind of weird. No. Clip number 8. Last one.
Hold on here. I apologize, Steve. I did not. Oh, there we go. Let's see. I'm going to stall. By the way, it's interesting how division, racism, all the hot button Hot button ticket items keep getting put up again and again. I thought racism went away in the 70s, Steve. I thought that
Nancy Pelosi brought it back.
Well, didn't Obama really bring it back?
Same time, same person.
Here we go.
I was actually threatened by a guy who had basically said that he was going to have me shot at close range proximity. That's not my only experience with firearms. When I was in high school, I was actually at a campus where there was a gang shooting. And so obviously I take firearm safety very seriously, but I also take my personal safety seriously. And I just want to clarify something. To tell members, especially members that have been threatened, female members, I don't know if you guys know this, but are likely more targeted than male members because of the fact that we're looked at as victims, right? But to tell us that we don't have the ability to defend ourselves because of for whatever happened on January 6th is wrong. I reserve that right to defend myself. I reserve the right to carry my firearm in whatever capacity I want to without your permission. You know.
By the way, that was just the static that came off that recording. It wasn't our technology here.
That's okay. That's Anna Paulina Luna, newly minted congressperson from Florida. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to my thought of the week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to the Mill Creek View at your favorite podcasts and social apps. Ronald Reagan helped save the world from communism and created one of the strongest economies in history. On his 112th birthday, February 6th, 1911, let us celebrate the life and accomplishments of this great American. Government exists to protect us from each other, where government has gone beyond its limits. Is in deciding to protect us from ourselves. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on from them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. How do you tell a communist? Well, it's someone who reads Marx and Lenin. And how do you tell an anti-communist? It's someone who understands Marx and Lenin. Republicans believe every day is the 4th of July, but the Democrats believe every day is April 15th. It isn't so much that liberals are ignorant, it's just that they know so many things that aren't so. Ronald Reagan. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you liked it. Thank you, Cash Daniels, for doing the dirty work that litter bugs cause. If not you, who? Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper. Peace in our time.
At the county fair, they were looking for America, behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like
any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.